invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, we just sang there, "Be thou exalted, O my God." I had to think about that just a little bit. Be thou exalted, like God is exalted. He doesn't have to be exalted. He is exalted, but I think the hymn writer there is calling us in our own mind, in our own estimation, is to exalt our God. And so we've come to exalt Him. And let's do that, starting off here with reading Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But ye in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof."
Let's continue in worship and exaltation to our Lord. Now glorify His name with the reading of 1 Peter 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5th chapter. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity, and peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Greetings this morning in Jesus' name as we have met to worship. Appreciated Brother Grant exhorting us to find life in Christ Jesus. And his question was, what kind of an experience, or what is my experience with this life? I think all of us know that if Jesus has touched us, if we have allowed his ministry to minister to us, this can be a good life. And yet we're looking for life eternal someday. And so we appreciate the opening there. This morning, I'd like to focus on a couple verses here in this fifth chapter of 1 Peter, verse number 5 and verse number 6. And I'll just reread them. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so for a little while here, I'd like to talk about humility. Humility and talk about, of course, pride. You can't hardly talk about humility than talking about the other side of humility, and that is pride. Clothed in humility. And so this morning, as we think about humility and we think about pride, we recognize in the world that we live in, there is a lot of pride. I think we see that. We see that on every hand. Pride is just everywhere. It's just like everywhere we look, we see pride just oozing out of every thought and actions of men, and you know, we're not exempt from that. You know, as I look at my own heart, as I truly examine my own heart, I see pride too often rising up. And you know, we could just go on and on about pride in the world. I read in the just reading some statistics on pride, it's just amazing how we have just been overcome with pride. You know, this iPhone that I have here in my hand, it's really a really amazing tool. But you know, if I go to take a picture and I bring picture up and I want to take a picture of you, because I want to see you, I want to take a picture of you, but just to the right of where I would click that picture is another little symbol, little place you can push your finger on. And when you do that, you know what happens? That lens turns around and all of a sudden, oh, there's me right there, my favorite person right there. And you, that we are infatuated with selfies. That's what it's called. It's called a selfie. And I read, I think it was like in just every year that maybe there's 92 million selfies taken. And I forget, I think the statistic says that if we broke that down, it would be 7 minutes out of the day that we would take a selfie. And I recognize that sometimes maybe they're beneficial if you want to have your picture with somebody. But we are just infatuated with ourself, exalting ourself and pride and being lifted up because it's about me. And that is the temptation that we have. And so pride, and we want to look at pride. We want to look at humility. This fifth chapter of 1 Peter, I believe, or actually the whole book of 1 Peter is written to believers. And so we can think about pride in the world, and it's out there. We see that. But Peter was written to believers. And so that's really the context that I want to keep this in is you and I, believers. We have accepted the Lord Jesus. You know, just even to come into salvation through Jesus Christ, there needs to be a certain level of humility. You know, I've got to realize that I need help. I am in need of salvation through Christ. And so there's a certain level of humility. And then in the experience of life in the church of Christ that we live in, he calls us here to be humble, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and to humble ourselves under others that we would receive blessing. That we would receive blessing. And I've used this illustration before, and I really like it, and I think about it when I think about humility and I think about pride. I'd like you to think about on my right hand here is God. And so when God is lifted up, there's only one way, one place that I can be. If be thou exalted, God is there, but where have we put him? Where have we estimated God? Have we exalted him in our heart? And if we have, then God is up here. There's only one place that we can be, and that's in humility down here. Can't have it both ways. We can't lift God up and also be lifted up ourselves. It just is not possible. And so when we have exalted God, we have come to a place of humility, and that's where we want to be. And I chose that sixth chapter of Isaiah because that's where Isaiah saw God. He says here, he said, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Where do you see God? Where do you see God? And you know, that's kind of hard sometimes to really come to grips with that. But I think where we can or understand where I am at, but I think where I can understand is where am I at over on this side. If I am lifted up in pride, you know what happens? Where is God in my estimation? God is still on his throne. He's high and lifted up. But where have I saw him? If I am lifted up in pride, and this is me on this side, you know where God is in my estimation? He's down here. He's right down here. And that's so we can look at our life. We can look at pride and see kind of where we have put God. And so where have we put God? Where is humility in my life? And so we'd like to look at that. Andrew Murray wrote this, and I like this. It says humility. This is one definition that of humility by Andrew Murray. He said humility is the displacement of self by the enthronement of God. And that's that example that when we dethrone or displace ourself from the throne and lift God up, that's where we want to be. And so that is humility. Thought about pride. And that is when I am lifted up. Where does pride come from? Well, I think we know the origin of pride. We just have to turn over a few chapters in Isaiah 14. And these verses say this: How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and here is the origin of pride right here. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. And that is a definition of pride there. I will be, whether we want to really admit it or not, I want to be like the Most High God. It's ugly, isn't it? It's ugly. Pride is very, very ugly. And so, as we think about pride and humility, it goes on here in the fifth verse. And it said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So back to this illustration, if I'm thinking about grace, thinking about grace being a liquid or something that you know, God's principle is, or God's law is in gravity. And so thinking about that, well, if I am lifted up, or let's go with God first. If God is lifted up high, He is there, but if I have put Him there in my heart, then I am down here. And in that illustration, grace then can flow on down into my life. And that's what this verse tells us. So I like that little illustration that when God is high on His throne, when I am humble, then that just opens the storehouse of God's grace that it can just run right down into my life. And you know what? That's what God wants to do. God wants to bless each of us. God wants to give His share His grace with us. That is who our God is. He's a loving God. He cares about us. He wants to bless us. But you know what happens when I am up here, and in my estimation that God is down here, the flow doesn't happen, does it? Grace is down here, and it will not flow uphill, because that's what God has said. He resisteth the proud. He shuts off the storehouse of grace in our lives. And so He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to live a fruitful life. And so we'd like to look at grace. So where am I? Where am I? And you know, I think sometimes it's kind of hard to tell. In fact, if I maybe think that I'm down here, maybe I'm not. You know, if I think that I'm a pretty humble person, then probably I'm not really down there. I'm probably more up over here. So I don't know where we are in life. Maybe we're moving. Maybe we're moving in the right direction. And we're lifting God up. That's what I want to encourage us today, to be able to look at ourselves, look at the pride in our own life, and then desire and strive and call out to God for humility. And so we're going to look at that today. I have come up with an acronym of humble, the word humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. And so I've come up with a message using those letters. And so I'll go ahead and give them to you. H being humility, what is it? U is under God. M is man coming underneath man or others. B is boasting turns off the grace of God. L is lowly people receive God's favor, and E is exalted in His time, humble. And so we're going to talk about pride and humility today. Humble, humility, what is it? If you would look that word up in a Strong's definition, you come up with these words right here: depressed, base, cast down, low degree, condescend. That's the definition of humility or the state of being humble. And so we'd like to look at this just humility and what is it a little bit. First of all, humility is a a divine initiative of God. In other words, God has given us every opportunity to be humble. God has given that to us. He's given us the opportunity because He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His grace. In fact, He's given us Jesus as the perfect example of humility. And if you want to know what humility looks like, just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus and pattern our life after Him. Philippians 2, and I'm just going to read this and we're going to move on. But Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." Look at that example right there. So He humbled Himself. God highly exalted Him. And so we humble ourselves under Jesus Christ, under God. And then it says here in 1 Peter 5 that He will exalt us in due time. And so He gives us that example. And so, thinking about humility, you know, humility is seeing ourselves. This is a definition, and really all down through here is going to be definitions of humility. But humility is seeing ourselves as we truly are. Do I see myself as I truly am? Do I see myself as God sees me? And, you know, an humble person is able to do that. But, you know, pride, we really can't see ourselves as we truly are. And so do I see myself? Am I able to see myself as God sees me? And so thinking about just being lifted up in pride, Romans 12 says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so that there's the scripture right there that tells us that we have the problem with thinking too highly of ourselves. Thinking too highly of ourselves, and it goes on here and says that we need to think soberly. And so this word soberly, just being in the right mind. And so humility is where God wants us. Humility is the right mind that we're able to see who we are as God sees us. And so humility is truly seeing ourselves as we are. And so we're thinking of just seeing ourselves too highly. Thinking too highly of ourselves, and we need to come down. We need to come down. But I want to think about just coming down too far. And what is not humility? And humility is not depression. You know, I read that definition there. It's to depress. Well, depress means to just come down. But as we think about depression today, depression is not humility. And I recognize that there is lots of different kinds of depression. There's some that is physical depression, and I recognize that. But there's also just a spiritual depression when I'm depressed. And I'll just have to admit that I have struggled at some level over the years of my life with feeling depressed from time to time. And probably you have too. I'm going to guess. That's just kind of the world we live in, the life we live in. We are susceptible to depression. But depression, we just want to be clear, is not humility. Even though sometimes it can look humble. Depression is not humility. And I like this quote, another quote from Andrew Murray. And I haven't really read much from him. He's got a book out. I'd like to get it. It's called Humility. But I did get some quotes. I've never read the book, but I did get some quotes from Andrew that I think are in that book, maybe another book. But he says this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but of yourself less. Now think about that one a little bit. And I'm not sure I completely understand it. But he says humility is not thinking less of yourself, but yourself less. And so, you know, I can think, and that's where depression is. It can be thinking less of myself. Well, I'm just no good. There's no worth in me. I can't do anything right. Everybody else is successful. I'm just a no good nothing. And you know, that's where depression can take us. And we can waller around there and thinking of just how less of self we are. But it's actually just thinking of ourself less. Less focus on ourself. And we just think about that just seems to be the experience of life, depression. And even some of the old prophets in the Bible, you can read about them. You can read about, David struggled with depression. You can read through the Psalms and his bouts of depression. You can read about Jeremiah. You know, he had a severe bout of depression there. And you can read about that. You can read about David. I said Job. I want to think just a little bit about Elijah and his time of depression. And you know, Elijah had just went into King Ahab and shared the word of the Lord to him. Very powerful moment in Elijah's life. And you know, then he went out and I didn't really brush up on the story a whole lot, but you know, he fell into a deep depression. And here's what Elijah said. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19:4, he said, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die." You ever had that request? You ever had that request that you might die? That's what Elijah had. Man of God, a powerful man of God, powerful prophet that God used in mighty ways. He desired that he would die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And the story goes on. You can read that in 1 Kings, but Elijah went into this cave then and God met him there. And it says that the wind blew and it actually broke the rocks in two. What a strong wind. You know, we experienced a strong wind Friday evening that knocked some trees down and did damage to buildings and such. But this wind was so strong that it broke those rocks in two. Can't imagine. But said God wasn't in that. He went on and said that he brought strong wind. He brought an earthquake and shook the ground. And you can read there how it just shook the place. But he said God wasn't in the earthquake. He brought fire, but said that God wasn't into that, into the fire. But then he spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. And he says, "Elijah," ask him twice, what are you doing here? What are you doing here in this place? And it's just interesting here that how God worked with Elijah in that moment. You know, he didn't beat him up, didn't chide him where he was at. He just, "Elijah, take stock here of your life. What's going on here? What are you doing here? Where are you, Elijah?" And God showed himself his mighty hand there in that earthquake and the wind and the fire. And so that's how God works with us as we are lifted up here in pride and God is down here. We just don't think, as him being almighty. And you know, God wants to show his mighty power in our own lives. And so as God reveals that to us, and then there's what happened. He worked with Elijah, and next thing you know, Elijah becomes a powerful man in the hand of Almighty God. And so God is working with us too, as we become, as we struggle from time to time with depression. Humility is not to diminish our accomplishments, but to recognize Him working through me. And you know, God wants to work with us, just like He did with Elijah, in a mighty way. And I don't know what God has called you to, where to work. I don't know how He has called you to work. But God desires to work through us to accomplish things that are in life for His glory. And so it's not to diminish our ability. It's not to diminish our gifts that He's given us. But it's to give Him the glory. It's give Him the credit for Him working in and through us. And so let's, you know, sometimes, and we're kind of tempted to do that sometimes when somebody comes up to us and says, you know, good job. I'd really appreciated that message. Or, boy, I just appreciate, oh, you know, and you just kind of want to diminish that thing. And like, you know, and instead of saying, well, thank you. It wasn't me. It was God working in my life. It was God's power. And so let's be careful. Let's be careful that when God works mighty things through us and in us and on us, that we don't diminish that thing. This is God's mighty power. Let's give Him the praise and give Him the glory for that. And so let's not diminish His accomplishments in our life. Humility is not the lack of confidence. Humility is not a lack of confidence. You know, sometimes, and we all see people that are just very confident. And yes, they might be confident in their own life, in their own skills, in their own abilities. But when we're humble, we are confident in God and Jesus Christ as we experience life in Him. And so we can be a confident person as long as our confidence is placed in the working of Jesus Christ in our life and not our own confidence. And so we can be preoccupied with our greatness, as we read there in Isaiah 14. I want to be like the Most High, and I want to be great. You know, we can be preoccupied in that, or we can be preoccupied in just, woe is me. I'm down here. I'm nothing. I have nothing to offer anybody. I have nothing to offer God. Poor me, here I am. And so whether it's in our greatness or whether it's in our smallness, both of them are pride. It's pride. And so we want to be humble. We want to find the place that God wants us to be in our humility. And so I wrote this little phrase down, and it struck Connie and I here a few years ago, and I don't even know the context that it did. But just as we thought, and I just refer to this once in a while, but it's a simple little phrase. And it says that God is God and I am not. Simple little phrase, but tremendous meaning. God is God and I'm not. And so humility. I want to think about under God, under the mighty hand of God. And so coming under the mighty hand of God is really just coming under God's authority, realizing that God is God, and coming underneath that, and coming under the sovereignty of God. And that's really where true humility is just coming underneath that, instead of trying to be like God and instead of trying to be somebody and to be something that I can't even be. And so it's coming under the ultimate authority and sovereignty of God. Humility then is our response. Our response to God. God is God. What is our response to that? And that's where humility comes in. Or am I going to come underneath that? Am I going to find myself underneath God's authority and His sovereignty? And I thought about attributes of God, and I wrote down a few of them as God is God, and some of the attributes, and I'm not going to near cover all of them, but I listed about five of them here in thinking about coming underneath God. And one of them I've already mentioned is sovereignty. God's sovereign. He is in control of everything that happens. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God is in control of everything? That's God's sovereignty. And you know, when we believe that, we that's when we come underneath that. And so I ask us, am I an anxious person? Am I anxious? Am I anxious in life? And you know, anxiety, do I deal with anxiety? And again, it's a very common issue with us, with people. And it's amazing how many times that God deals with anxiety with people. And anxiety, the root of anxiety is because I'm not really believing that God is sovereign. I don't really believe that He has things under control, under His control, and so I become anxious. I feel like that I need to control this. I need to do this, and we realize we can't do anything, and then we're out of control, but we're not giving God that control or not acknowledging that God has control. He does, and we all deal with this. I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody. We all deal with anxiety at some level. Wisdom. What about God's wisdom? God is the God of all wisdom. Everything that God does, He makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes in life. Do I believe that? Can I come under that and believe that God is the God of wisdom? He makes no mistakes. Well, what about me? Has God made a mistake with me? How He created me? Has God made a mistake that He's made me the way that I am? Do I believe that? God makes no mistakes. And so, and we could go on with questions about thinking that God made mistakes, but God is the God of all wisdom. We need to come underneath that. Omniscience. God has perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge. There's not a thing done. There's not a thing said. There's not a thing happening that God knows all about it. Do I believe that? Can I come underneath that and exalt Him in the God of all knowledge, the omniscient God? And so the question that I ask is God fair in my life? Is God fair? Has God been fair with me? Sometimes, you know, we can find ourselves that, you know, it's just God's not fair. He hasn't been fair with me. But let's come underneath that. Let's exalt Him. Let's humble ourselves and realize that God is fair. He is the God of omniscience. He's the God with power, omnipotent. God is all powerful. And again, an attribute of God that He possesses that, all powerful. What about, do I feel protected? Do I feel protected from God? Do I feel His protection on me? And, you know, again, if I don't feel protected from God, it can cause anxiety. It can cause, maybe anxiety and fear. It can cause fear in my life. When I don't believe that God is the God of all power and gracious. God is gracious. Another attribute. He enjoys giving His gifts to His children, even when we do not deserve them. God enjoys giving gifts to His children, even though we do not deserve any of them. And so, do we find difficulty in accepting that? Do we find difficulty in receiving these gifts from God when we don't deserve these? This is God's graciousness. And you know, when we find ourselves in a humble place, we just graciously receive those gifts that God has given us. And so every day, Every day we have opportunity to humble ourselves. Every day there's opportunity that we can see God working in our lives. Changes comes. There's health changes that come. Grant mentioned some of those. Maybe it's death that comes, and we got to deal with these things. We got to deal with death. We've got to deal with health changes in our lives. We got to deal with maybe financial loss. We've got to deal with just unforeseen events in our life. We've got to deal with these things. And so this is opportunity that we can come underneath the mighty hand of God, humble ourselves, and just accept them that He is a God of all knowledge. He's all powerful. He's gracious. He knows what's going on. And so humility is given. There's opportunity that we can humble ourselves every day. I thought about just examining my own life. Am I a thankful person? Am I a thankful person? And if I really examine my life, I'll find that I complain. I complain about this and I complain about that. But again, an opportunity today, start today, to just being thankful. Being thankful for all things. The sun is shining. It feels great out there, even though it's cold. Just be thankful. Just train our minds and pray that God would give us a humble heart that we could be thankful in all of His working in our lives today. And start today. And so just thinking, we're going to just close this up, but just thinking and encouraging us how to deal with pride in our life. And it doesn't take very long, and I can recognize that I have pride. And so what can I do about this? Well, the first thing I wrote down is acknowledge this pride in my life. And you know, pride, it's hard to acknowledge. Pride wants to give the blame, put the blame on somebody else. Pride wants to squirt away from that and not acknowledge it. But let's just come to a place where we acknowledge that I am, what did I write here? That I have pride. As again, an opportunity today, as God reveals Himself to us and says, you know what? You're complaining about this. Shouldn't you be thankful for this? I'm in control here. I've got everything. I know all what's going on. I have power to change it or not. And so let's acknowledge the pride in our lives and confess it to God. We need to bring it to the light. Very important that we bring it to the light and not hide that thing. Let's bring it out. Let's confess it. Let's agree with God in that and ask for help. Again, God wants to give this to us. And so let's fall on our knees and pray and ask for help that He would help reveal my pride and take that away. Teach me, help me to take that pride away from my life and seek Him daily in my life. Let's move on to M, man coming underneath man or others. And this is an area that probably all of us can see. You know, we're interactive people. We're relational people. We have most of us have people at home. There's people in the church. There's people at work. There's people in the stores. We're always interacting with people. And a lot of times pride shows up in those interactions with people. And so we'd like to look at that a little bit. Here in this chapter, it's interesting how it starts out with elders. And admonishing elders, and again, if an elder has pride in his life, it says what's going to happen. It says taking the oversight not by constraint, and we're not going to go into those there. We're going to move on. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So that is an elder that is humbly serving God. And given a ready mind. It was a year or so ago, I called a brother on my way to Indiana. And I was kind of feeling it, meeting with the servant body there, and I was probably in the anxious mode, maybe in the little depressed mode. Who am I? Who am I to go out there and, you know, and I found myself there. But I called this brother, and I just asked him, how do you be a presiding elder? How do you do this? You know, I'm just kind of at a loss. And I'll never forget what he told me. He just said, be humble. Be humble. And that just really spoke to me. And he didn't go on and elaborate anymore, but he said, be humble. And so I appreciated that. As I think about that, what does it mean to be humble? And so anyway, I'm going to move on from that. But that is how elders are to be humble as they lead, as they're over the flock, examples to the flock. And then it goes down here in verse 5, and it says, likewise ye younger. And it's interesting, this elder, I'm not sure if it's really talking about a position in the church, or if it's talking about older people, elders. We have elders here this morning. And the Bible, sometimes it's kind of hard to understand exactly what the context is. Because you read here, likewise ye younger, well, that means that he was speaking to elders. So I don't know, but it doesn't matter as we move on here. And it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. So really, it's including all of us. The message is to all of us, whether we're younger, whether we're elders, whether we're mid-age, the message is to each of us. But it's a good principle. As God has laid it out, that the younger are to be submissive and subject to the older ones. Now, this is a principle, and I realize that not all older people are godly men. And so maybe it doesn't fit in every category, in every place of life, but the principle still is the same. And young people, God will bless you when you submit your thoughts, your ideas, submit your lives to older elders, older people. But it's a blessing. God has designed it that way. And so coming underneath, putting on the clothes of humility. And so we need to take off this robe of self-glory and put on the apron of humility. And we've heard about that. We know about that. John chapter 13 talks about there in the upper room, they put on that apron there, and they washed each other's feet. And again, an example of Jesus in what putting on humility really looks like. But that's what he calls us to do, to put on humility. I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And right above there, where Paul gives the example of Jesus and his humility, it reads words like this. I'm just going to read the first 5 verses. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And here's where I want. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. And so there's the call that this same mind that Christ had is the mind that we're to put on. We're to put it on like clothes. Take off that robe of self-glory, that robe of pride, that robe that wants to lift me up above you. Put on that apron of humility. Be clothed with humility. And so thing, well, something I noticed here is this strife. Strife. What about strife? You know, as I thought about strife, I thought about being as strong as saying that every strife that we have is pride. There's pride involved. I'm not sure I can say that. I didn't really think that all through, but I can say a very, very high percentage of strife among people, there is pride involved in that. And so I just think about our relationships at home, our strife, our quarrels that we have at home. God, show me where pride, where I'm being lifted up above my wife or above my children. Lord, show me in the body of Christ where I live, where I worship, where I fellowship, when there is strife in my congregation. What's going on there? Lord, show me where pride has lifted up in myself, in my heart, and caused strife among the congregation. And so, God forbid that there be strife, but again, we know that we're in the flesh and this is something that happens. But again, it gives us opportunity. I don't know how things are going here at Bear Creek. Didn't come here to preach this just about to Bear Creek. But I just know that any time you have a group of people, there's going to be that possibility of strife to begin. And in that strife, there is pride involved. And so let's look inward, look at our own self. In fact, the book of Proverbs, or Proverbs 13:10, says this: only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so pride and contention. And so, you know, humility is not being a doormat. It's not letting just people just walk all over us and use us. It's not being a doormat, but it's understanding that other people have value. It's understanding that other people have value. What do we see everybody in the body of Christ, even people out there? Do we see that there is value in people? And that is humility. As we see the value that people have. And so I wrote down some things here, some questions again that we can just examine our hearts. Look at our own lives. How well, this is one that I struggle with, how well do I listen to others? How well do I listen to others? You know what I find myself that I can do is, as I'm conversing with somebody and maybe they're telling me, maybe it's from a quarrel. Maybe it's some strife that I've had with my wife or with one of my children or at work or wherever. And there's some contention there. And they're trying to tell me what their side of it is. And I'm so bent on telling them what I think it is that I can't even listen to what they're saying. And as they're talking to me, I'm already thinking what I'm going to respond. And rather than coming underneath and being humble and really listening to what they have to say and considering that. And again, it's not becoming a doormat. It's not necessarily even agreeing with what they say. Humility is not necessarily agreeing with what people say, but it's hearing them out and listening to what they have to say. And you know how I found that when you listen, you know what that happens most of the time? That contention and that strife just seems to kind of go away because the other person has felt heard. They feel valued. I'm willing to give them and value them of their opinion. And I'm willing to put it above myself and consider it. And so, am I a good listener? What about, am I critical of others? You know, I find myself just being critical of others. And what about that? What is that? Well, you know, we think about lifting ourselves up. Sometimes we don't feel like that we have anything really to over here on this side that we can lift ourselves up sometimes. So what do? We want to criticize, be critical of other people, because what it does then, it lowers them And guess what? I'm on top again. I'm on top. And so do I find myself, do I see a critical spirit in my own heart? Do I become defensive when others point out sin in my life? If somebody, whether it's your wife or whether it's even your children or whoever it is, and they point out something in your life, like say, hey, something didn't sound right. I didn't care when you did this. And what's my reaction to that? Become defensive? Do we react to that? Do we start to make excuse and blame it on somebody else? What do we do with that? And again, it's a indication of pride in my life and a need to come underneath God, first of all, and then underneath people, and really understand and humble myself under people. Do I seek out approval from others? Do I seek out approval from others? And again, I see myself in all of these, but you know, we can live a life of just trying to get approval from other people rather than God. And it can be a form of pride in our lives. Let's move on to B. Boasting will turn off the grace of God. Boasting turns off. And that's just a principle that God has established. That if, and again, back to that illustration, if I am lifted up with pride, God says, you know what? I'm gonna oppose you. I'm gonna cut off the blessing. I'm gonna cut off the grace in your life because, I don't know why God does that, but that's what he says he does. He wants us to become humble before he pours in that oil of grace in our lives. But thinking about that, and I have to admit that I'm kind of fascinated by war. And I realize we just come off last weekend about a non-resistant meeting, and I hate war. I hate it, but something that does fascinate me with it is just the logistics of it. How armies can get their soldiers up to the battlegrounds or the battle lines, how they can get supplies up to the people that are up there, how they can get ammunition. You know, there's just supply lines that need to happen. And it's really very strategic in war. And just thinking about the war over in Ukraine and Russia, and that is how Ukraine has been successful against Russia, is because they've been attacking their supply lines. And they can't. They've got people up there, but they can't get ammunition. They can't get food up there to the people. They're lacking in training. There's medical supplies that need to go up. There's a lot of care that needs to be there on the front lines. It's supply lines. It's very, very important in battle. And you know, it's very, very important in our life too. God wants to supply us what we need in this life to be successful, to live our lives, to experience life as this lady did laying on her bed, hospital bed. She has been living on a supply of God's grace. That's why she can say that. That's why she can say that. And so God wants to supply us. And as I said, Russia has been attacking, Ukraine has been attacking those supply lines, and it's weakened the force of Russia. And that's why Ukraine has been successful there. And you know, the enemy is attacking our supply lines. He is wanting us to be lifted up in pride. Look at me. Look what I've accomplished. God, I know better than you. Not trusting in God, not putting our faith in God. And it's an attack on the supply line that we need, the vital supply line in our lives. And so pride will cut off that supply line that we desperately need in this life. Let's move on. Lowly people receive God's favor. The humble people receive the supply line of God. What it tells us right here, humility is the opening that God can pour in His oil of grace in our lives. And so humble people receive God's favor. It's the master key. It's the master key that opens that door to grace, to God's grace to pour into our life. Philippians 4:19 says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Every need. Every need that we have, and these needs are these, this supply line to our needs is vital to our needs. It's vital. That supply line must stay open. That supply line of God's grace, we rely on that. We must have it. And so humility will open that. And God says right here that He will supply all your need. What is my needs today? What do I need? God will supply that to us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." Says a whole lot there. But the part that I want here is, "which causeth us to triumph." Thinking again about the supply line of God's grace. He wants us to triumph. He causes us to triumph because of the supply lines of His grace into our life. And so, how is our life going? How is that supply of God's grace into our life? How's life going to you? Good question that we need to examine our hearts. You know, as we think about just the frontline battle of life, you know, we're all on the front lines. And God has given us everything that we need for godliness, for life and godliness. God has provided everything. And so what about sin? How are we doing against the snares of sin? If we feel like we're losing to sin, if we feel like we're in bondage, if we feel like we're held captive, probably it's because the supply line has been choked. We're not getting the grace of God that we need in dealing with the sin in my life. What about wisdom? God wants to give us wisdom. What about wisdom in our families? Wisdom as fathers, making decisions in life. Wisdom as mothers, as husbands and wives, in the church, at work. We need this supply of wisdom. How's it going? How's it going in our life? And what about inspiration? You know, we need to live. We need life. We need life pumped into us. Inspiration. You know, there's times that I just feel dead, or I just feel sluggish and just maybe depressed. And I need that life pumped into me. I need His life. I need inspiration, His inspiration in my life. And so God wants to supply, and God will supply all of our need according to His riches in Christ Jesus, which then causes me to go back and look at my own life. What about pride in my life? What about humility in my own life? Where am I at? Where am I doing? How am I doing in this? And God wants to supply us with that. Let's move on to E. Exalted in His time. Exalted in His time. And you know, I thought about that, and it says that He will exalt us in due time. And He's not going to exalt us in pride, but when we're humble, He said, then He's going to exalt us. And I want to go back to a parable in Luke 14. Should have had it marked there. Luke 14. I'm going to start at the 7th verse. And he put forth a parable to them which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say unto thee, give this man place, for thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he hath that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with them. For whosoever, here's really the cap of all of this, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so I didn't really spend a lot of time looking at that parable, but one thing I did want to get out of that is God is the one that exalts us. God is the one that decides when we have humbled ourselves to where He is willing and ready to exalt us. His time. As I thought about exalting, you know, I thought about, well, maybe that there in 1 Peter, maybe it means when we're lifted off this earth and we're going to be exalted into heaven. Probably so. But I think also it means in this life, to be exalted in this life, not in pride, not in what I've done, not in what I've accomplished, not to possibly promote me in even kingdom work. But I think about just being exalted to the place where God has given and supplied me with His power, with His strength, with His might, with His wisdom, with His knowledge, everything that I need to live faithful in Christ Jesus today. And He can exalt us to this place. But He's the one that does it. We don't do that. It's His work in our life. And so where are we? Where are we on the humility meter? And again, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes, isn't it? Kind of hard to tell sometimes, because when I thought, it reminds me of a story that I heard a long time ago told, but it was a story of a group of people that wanted to search out the most humble person in the world. And I don't know how they went about it. I don't even know how you even begin to go about it, but they found the man. They found the man that they thought was the most humble person in the world. And so they gave him a pen. They gave him a pen that said the most humble person. And so what did he do? He took that pen and he put it right there. And then they said, we've got to take that from you, because you've just now said that you feel like you're the most humble person in the world. And so this thing of humility, we just need to be careful with it. We need to be careful with it, but we need to seek God, the humility that God will that has provided and shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thou sayest the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Look at that right there. Puts it right up there. There's where God is. He's saying, I dwell there in that high and lofty place. Where have we put Him? Where have we put Him? Have we put Him in that high and lofty place where He is? And He says, I dwell with him that also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. Revive, revival, to pump life into, to give life, to live faithful here. God wants to pump that into our life, that revival, to pump His life, His spirit into us, and to, goes on, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And so Let us put him there in that highest place. There. Let's put him there. To be exalted, I wrote this down, to be exalted is to increase in effectiveness of Christ in us, which increaseth our fruitfulness. And so I think that's all of our desire. We want to be fruitful. We want to be productive here on earth. Productive for God. Productive in the kingdom. We want to be working in the kingdom and giving life and growing, helping us to grow, helping others to grow and to be fruitful. And so to be exalted, just thinking about that, how can we increase in faith if we're full of pride? And so God, as we humble ourselves and God exalts us, He will give us effectiveness in the kingdom. He will give us fruitfulness in the kingdom. I think that's part of that. He will exalt us in due time. And so I want to just conclude with another quote of Andrew Murray. And I've used this before, and it's a pretty good quote, but it says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in, shut the door, and kneel to my Father in secret, and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. And that is the place that I desire. That is the place that I want to be with God. And so God be with us as we humble ourselves under His mighty hand. God wants to bless us. God wants to supply grace that will for every need that we have. And so as we again want to just say that today God is going to give us opportunity. There will be opportunity, whether it's circumstance in my life and I've got to reckon with God. God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? Opportunity to humble myself and to realize, you know, God knows what He's doing. God is in control. God is all knowledgeable. God will be with me. Opportunities today. And then we're going to be meeting with people today, tomorrow. We're going to be around people. And again, opportunity as we relate to people. And there's going to be some rubs. And there's going to be some pride that's going to be lifted up. And it's going to cause contention sometimes. Opportunity. Let's not beat ourselves up. Let's not go down in the gutter and think, oh, it's poor me, I can't. Let's give it to God. Give it to God. Let's humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Let's recognize that He is the God of forgiveness. He's the God of grace. He wants to bless us. And let's humble ourselves and let Him exalt us in His time. God bless you.